Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our March chapter meeting of the NFB of Indiana at Large chapter. I'm President Tyler Sherrick, and we have our Vice President Alex Gillen, Secretary Abby Fleener, and tonight's guest is Jennifer Lehman. Am I saying that correctly?
It's Lyman. Yeah, thank you.
She is with Vera Pharmaceuticals, and she is here to talk about non-24 symptoms and treatments. And Jennifer, I give you the floor.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Before I get started, has anyone here tonight heard of non-24 sleep-wake disorder?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Does anyone know someone with the disorder? No. Okay.
I know people who say they have it, but I don't know if they've ever been tested.
I've wondered myself if I've had it.
But okay.
I'm pretty sure I do, but I haven't been officially tested either. But okay. I show all the symptoms of it. So.
Oh. Okay. All right.
And this is Tom. You're Tom, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Just if I verify the voices. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is I will walk you through the cause of non-24 sleep-wake disorder. I will not be talking about any treatments or specific products, but we'll talk about how it does get diagnosed and how it differs from some more commonly known sleep disorders. But let me tell you a little bit about my background before we get rolling on that. I do work for a pharmaceutical company. But the company I work for actually does a tremendous amount of research in this arena. So they are continuing to research non-24 sleep-wake disorder. And they decided to hire a few nurses to go out into the communities to educate about this disorder because the awareness is very low, not only in the community, but among healthcare professionals. So my goal is to be out there raising awareness of this disorder because it's very rare. And even if someone is visually impaired and doesn't recognize the symptoms I'm going to go through today, it can develop later. So the information might prove useful in that regard. So what we do is we go out, meet with support groups and organizations. We educate staff. We educate community members. And the visually impaired about this disorder so that even, like I said, if they don't recognize the symptoms today, that can change and they may develop sleep struggles somewhere down the road. So we talk to support groups, we talk to membership organizations and SILs, the independent living organizations, rehab facilities, manufacturers, and guide dog organizations. If there's an organization involved with the visually impaired, we try to reach out to them. And the reason we do that, again, is to raise awareness because it is rare and the awareness is low. And it's there's no diagnostic test for this. So it can be tricky to be diagnosed if a healthcare professional is not aware of it. And I will provide my phone number at the end of this, since it is being recorded. So if anyone would like to reach out to me, if you have questions, I'm happy to take a call anytime. So I cover the Midwest region. I am a registered nurse and my region covers probably 11 or 12 states. So we try to make the best use of our time when we do actually physically go and meet with groups like we're doing now that things are opening up a little bit. We try to meet with a couple of groups in one geographic area at one time. So moving on to talk about non-24. Many people who are blind have difficulty sleeping at night and then staying awake during the day. And because of that disrupted sleep, it can impact every aspect of their lives. And it's interesting to know that research indicates that up to 70% of people who are totally blind may suffer from non-24 but not know it. And you don't have to be totally blind to have non-24. I do have a really neat audiobook. It's a self-contained unit. So if anyone's interested in getting this, let me know at the conclusion of the presentation. This material really doesn't take very long to go through, so stop me along the way if you have a question, or we can do questions at the end. But this audiobook is a self-contained unit. It doesn't need batteries. It doesn't need to be charged. And it's called Living with Noun 24. And as soon as you open the cover, it starts to play.
Are you totally blind or know someone who is?
So that is free to anyone who wants it. It takes about 5 minutes to go through this audiobook, but it recaps everything that I'm going to go through tonight. So if someone does want to share that with family or friends, or maybe start a discussion with a healthcare provider, it's a nice material to have in order to do that. So again, let me know if anyone is interested in being connected with a health educator to get one of those shipped out to you. Like I said in the beginning, I will explain the cause of Noun 24, and then hopefully you'll be able to recognize the signs of Noun 24 by the time I finish. Again, as a nurse educator out in the community, my goal is to raise awareness of this. And we meet with groups, both large and small. So really large organizations. Some of you may have heard something about Noun 24 at a state convention. But we also meet with really small support groups, and we do that both virtually and in person, whatever is going to work best for the group. And I am happy, like I said, to connect anyone with a health educator. That's kind of my teammate here out in the community. They have free audiobooks that they can ship out. But they also have access to lots of other information. So if anyone's interested and learning more about research that's continuing out there in this area or possible treatment options, that's the person who can share that information. So let's talk about what those signs and symptoms are of Noun 24. It's difficulty falling asleep at a desired bedtime, difficulty staying asleep, excessive sleepiness during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interesting characteristic of this is that it has a cyclical pattern to the sleep struggles. And patients can have either one of these symptoms, let's say difficulty falling asleep at a desired bedtime, or they can have all of them, and they can range in severity from mild to severe. So when I talk about difficulty falling asleep at a desired time, if someone, you know, is aiming to get to bed by 10 o'clock at night, someone with Noun 24 may get in bed by 10 o'clock, but may not fall asleep until 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, or they may get out of bed without having any sleep at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a cycle to that. So does that sound familiar, Tom?
Yes. All of you, what you said so far is exactly what I experienced.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So this will be interesting for you to understand the cause of it and what's going on inside the body. Noun 24, unfortunately, is often misdiagnosed based on these symptoms, because the symptoms I just mentioned are similar to a sleep disorder called insomnia. And we'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk about the difference between Noun 24 and insomnia. The root causes are different. So again, even if you don't have symptoms today, they could develop somewhere down the road. So if sleep struggles appear in your life at some point, you know, keep this in mind. So who is likely to have Noun 24? Really anyone who is visually impaired. People who are fully sighted can have Noun 24. It's just more rare. The unfortunate part about this audiobook that I was talking about is when you open it, it says, "Are you totally blind?" Well, you don't have to be totally blind to have this disorder. It occurs in both men and women, and it can occur at any age. So people who do have some light perception can develop it. Like I said, there are people who are fully sighted who have it. It's just really rare. I know of one person in my area who has it, who's fully sighted. People who lose their sight typically notice the symptoms appearing around the time that they lose their sight. So they may start to, maybe they never had sleep struggles before, and then after they lose their sight, they really start to struggle with keeping a good sleep schedule. Yep. Yeah, okay. So now
that's what happened, because I just lost my sight, and that's when I started noticing the symptoms. Yep.
Okay, all right. 9-24 is considered a rare circadian rhythm disorder, and circadian is spelled C-I-R-C-A. That first part of that, the root of that word is circa, which means around or about, and then D-I-A-N is the last part of it. And Dian or Dia typically refers to a 24-hour period. So it's around or about a 24-hour period. That's what our circadian rhythm is. So it's not categorized as a sleep disorder, even though that's in the name of the disorder. It is a circadian rhythm disorder. You may start to hear some things about circadian rhythms moving forward. It seems like it's getting more and more attention. I actually heard a mattress commercial recently on the radio that mentioned circadian rhythms. So it is starting to get more attention, which is great. It's a very interesting thing to study. It impacts every part of our bodies and our beings. So sleep and other daily patterns are regulated by this circadian rhythm. So to make it simple, a circadian rhythm is our internal natural timing system. It's a system that controls our biological processes. So circadian rhythms are sometimes referred to as our environmental clock. And our circadian rhythms tend to run longer than a 24-hour period. So that sets in motion a complex timing of processes such as sleep-wake cycles, hormonal secretion, feeding behavior, and metabolic processes. So our circadian rhythms kind of run that. So it's important for us to be in sync with our environmental world, the daytime and nighttime cycles, because our bodies do things during the day, the daylight hours, and then they have different roles. It's kind of like shifting gears on a car. When we're sleeping at night, our body doesn't necessarily shut down. It's just shifting gears and working on different things. So the circadian rhythm ensures that the biological processes are all coordinated to changes in this external environment, meaning the daytime, nighttime cycles. And then that helps keep us in sync with the environment so that we sleep at night and we're awake during the day. For people who do not have non-24, our rhythm gets reset every 24 hours through light perceived by the retina and the eyes. So it doesn't matter if it's sunlight, you know, natural daylight, or the lights that we turn on inside. It's that light that actually sets everything in motion. And that actually resets our internal clock. So for people with non-24, they don't get that reset. Their internal clock never stops moving forward. I don't have non-24. So every 24 hours, it's kind of like hitting the button on a stopwatch. Every 24 hours, that button is hit and I go back to starting over again. For people who have non-24, because their clock never stops moving forward, the doctors will refer to that as drift. They eventually fall out of sync with the rest of the world. They fall out of sync with the daytime and the nighttime cycles. So as they cycle through their own circadian rhythm cycle, they get upside down with days and nights, but they come back around on the other side of that and they start to come back in sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles. But depending on how long their circadian rhythm cycle is, maybe it takes a month, maybe it takes 2 months or 3 months for them to get back in sync. That's all very individual to everybody. So we all have our own individual circadian rhythm cycles, and all of us have a circadian rhythm that runs a little bit longer or shorter. It's genetically predetermined, so it's almost like a fingerprint. Everyone's is very individualized. But for people with non-24, because they're constantly drifting forward, like I said, they might be out of sync a little bit today, but they're going to be more out of sync tomorrow and even more out of sync the following day, because they continue that cycling forward. And then eventually they become 12 hours out of sync. So that's what we call being upside down with their days and nights. And their daytimes are actually the middle of the night for the rest of the world, and vice versa. So We get our reset for people who don't have non-24. We get that reset, like I said, from light, and that kind of sets everything back to zero. For people with non-24, they're not getting the light signal they need. So, they have to wait for their own slow circadian rhythm to cycle back into sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles. So, it's important to know that our bodies, do things differently at night. Our body temperature tends to drop, our heart rate slows down, our blood pressure goes down, thank goodness. But it also determines the timing of our sleep and wake cycles, like I said, so that they stay aligned with the 24-hour day. So for most of us, our drive to sleep happens at nighttime, but for people with non-24, that drive to sleep may happen in the morning, it may happen in the middle of the day. People tell me that, it is sometimes unpredictable. They don't know that they're going to nod off. I had a lady, tell me who has non-24 that she was putting, a mug of coffee in her microwave and she woke up on the floor. So she had just, you know, nodded off for a couple of seconds that quickly. It was very unpredictable. Thank goodness she wasn't hurt, but, it just illustrates how strong that drive can be. When people are sleep deprived. So something else that occurs, in our bodies, during daytime and nighttime hours is the, regulation and release of hormones. Melatonin is our sleep hormone. I'm sure you've all heard of that. You can buy supplements over the counter. And then, cortisol is kind of our awake hormone. So that's your yin and yang of the hormones that, help us stay in sync as well. So melatonin will peak when you do not have non-24. Melatonin peaks early in the evening and that helps us get ready for bedtime. And then it tapers off throughout the night. And then in the morning we get a spike or a peak of cortisol and that helps us get ready for the day. That helps us get up and going. So for people who don't have non-24, those hormones are, they're released at the appropriate time to get us ready for sleep or for awake, which is evening and then daytime. For people with non-24, when they get upside down with their days and nights, they might be getting their spike of melatonin, that sleep hormone, first thing in the morning or in the middle of the day, and they start, that drive to sleep starts creeping in on them. Yes. And and conversely, even if someone with non-24 does not have a problem falling asleep at a desired bedtime. Let's say they go to bed at 10 o'clock every night. Great. They fall asleep by 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. They get their spike of cortisol, that awake hormone. So they're getting a message sent to the body saying, hey, get up and start your day. So not uncommon for people with non-24 to be up in the middle of the night doing chores, paying bills, whatever, because they feel that's their daytime, right, Tom?
Yep.
Yeah. So you're
exactly right in all of it.
Okay.
That's exactly what I experience.
Oh yeah. That's so difficult. It really is. You know, that light that we are able to process, through our eyes, actually, like I said, helps to reset our clocks and it, quote unquote, erases extra minutes that would typically stack up. But those extra minutes do actually stack up for people with non-24. So if you think of stacking poker chips, you know, every day there's a new poker chip being stacked up there, because those extra minutes don't go away for someone with non-24. So for people who don't have any light perception, there's no light signal being sent to the brain. And then consequently, there's no signal sent on to the body to sync up with that 24-hour daytime, nighttime stuff. So people with non-24 say that they feel like they are out of sync most of the time. And it's very frustrating to feel that you're always trying to keep up and stay awake and be alert. You know, if you're working a job or going to school or you have social obligations. But I've also talked to people with non-24, and Tom, I don't know if you know of anyone else who has non-24, but, they're retired and they're totally cool with it. It doesn't bother them. They don't have schedules to live by. So they typically make appointments for themselves later in the day. And they've just acclimated to that, which is great. I mean, if you can do that, I think that's wonderful.
If you do see the light, okay. Mm-hmm. So say you do have light perception.
Okay.
And I know you said it doesn't have to be sunlight. It can be any kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can see the light, does it automatically reset your circadian rhythm? Or because you said you didn't have to be total.
Right. So that's an awesome question. Right.
I mean, because I see light, but there are many times when I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay. You know, and ready to go to bed at 10 a.m. instead of.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So not only does your body need to, have some perception of light, but it needs to be able to process that properly. So, you know, there could be an issue with, so the cells in the retina that actually, capture that light and process it are called ganglion cells. So there can be an issue with those ganglion cells sending the signal. There can be an issue with the optic nerve. So there can be some disconnect somewhere along that pathway that will, even though you can perceive the light, if the lines of transmission, so to speak, are not open, and there's some disruption along the way, then your brain and your body are not going to process that. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, I've also been asked for, some people who are totally blind. Why doesn't non-24 affect everyone who's totally blind? And I see the question in the chat box is, what is the percentage of people with non-24 who have light perception? That I am completely unsure about. So, I actually will probably take that back to our researchers and ask them about that. That's a good question. But not all totally blind people suffer from non-24. And the short answer is scientists and doctors aren't 100% sure as to why, but there are some theories out there. And one of them is that there is something called circadian photoreception, which still allows light for some totally blind people to sync the master body clock. That's what they call the area in the brain that actually processes all of this information and sends the signals out. So they don't understand fully how this conscious perception may affect someone who's totally blind, but it's just a theory. The other thing that they theorize about is that some people may have a circadian rhythm that is so close to being 24 hours on the nose, that they are less likely to notice any changes to their internal, cycles. So if someone's circadian rhythm runs 24 hours in 1 minute, that person, you know, may not have non-24 because they are so closely synced to daytime, nighttime cycles. But someone else may have a circadian rhythm that runs 24 hours and 30 minutes. And if you have non-24, those 30 minutes put you 30 minutes out of sync today. That person's going to be 60 minutes out of sync tomorrow and 90 minutes out of the following day and so on and so forth until, like I said, they're upside down with days and nights. And now they're up in the middle of the night. Feeling their body's feeling, you know, it's daytime. Let's get things done. But in the morning or midday, the following day, they're dead on their feet. Their brain and their body are saying, "Hey, it's time to sleep." So again, if you imagine someone who is trying to get work done or even just social obligations, it's really tough when you feel like you're always running behind and trying to keep up. Occasionally and temporarily, someone with non-24 is going to be synced up with the daytime, nighttime cycles. So if you think about that big clock, you know, that hand's coming around, when it gets to 12 hours out, then they're completely upside down with daytime, nighttime. And that's when their signs and symptoms tend to be the worst when they're that far out of sync. But that hand keeps moving around the clock and they start coming back into sync with the daytime, nighttime, cycle. I have been told, and Tom, maybe you can speak to this. I have been told by some people with non-24 that when they do get in sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles, because they are so sleep deprived, the days when they are actually in sync with everyone else in the world, they don't necessarily feel great because they are still so sleep deprived that they still feel like they're catching up. Does that sound accurate?
Yes. And I went to because I just lost my sight, I went to the Colorado Center for the Blind for several months.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I experienced it there. That's when it really got bad. Mm. And I had trouble concentrating during the day, focusing on my studies, because I was supposed to be studying Braille. I was supposed to be studying mobility and all these different classes. And I had trouble focusing, concentrating. I would fall asleep during class. Yes. I mean, it really got to be a problem. So.
Yes. Yeah. So I have been asked by teachers. I had a teacher, actually. I was giving a presentation to leader dogs in Michigan, and there was a teacher on the line, and she called me afterwards almost in a panic. She said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I heard this presentation." She had a little girl in her class who kept falling asleep, and not just like, you know, nodding off. It was like head down on the desk, like out. So she was concerned that maybe something was going on at home, but, it really turned out that, you know, even children can get non-24. So, it's not that people lack a discipline. It's not that they don't have a great alarm clock, to be getting up, you know, awakening on time. It's just that everything gets upside down for them. So when you think about those hormones, you know, the hormones that help us sleep at night, can be the hormones that they are getting a surge of in the morning or in the middle of the day, which really makes them extremely sleepy, and you can nod off really involuntarily. So non-24 is considered a chronic condition, which means that it's not going to go away. But the interesting characteristic about it, like I said before, is that it's cyclical. And that's what some healthcare professionals look for in actually diagnosing someone. And the symptoms come and go depending on where someone with non-24 is in their cycle. So symptoms may completely go away for people who are in sync with the 24-hour daytime-nighttime cycle. But as their clock continues to move forward, then the symptoms start to creep back. As they get out of sync, right, Tom?
Yes. Cause cause I noticed once I was in sync, I was able to focus, concentrate, learn stuff. But then once the days went on, I started noticing more and more, more problems, focusing again. And, you know, like you said, it's just a cycle. Or first you're able to concentrate, and then other times you're not. So it's like,
yeah, exactly. It's a challenge. It really is a struggle. And the sleep disturbances are a direct result of the circadian rhythm not being aligned with the external environment. So people will wonder, so why should I care about non-24? What effect does it have on people? It leads to sleep deprivation and difficulty concentrating. It can lead to irritability. I'm sure that doesn't happen to you, Tom, though. And it can even lead to depression. So it's not uncommon for non-24 to be misdiagnosed as a sleep disorder because the symptoms are the same. But we'll talk about the root cause difference in a minute here. But imagine pulling an all-nighter day after day after day and then having to concentrate, Tom, like you were saying, in class or on a job or even just taking care of children. You know, if you're pulling these all-nighters back to back to back, it's exhausting. So people have described this never-ending battle of sleeplessness and exhaustion. So, you know, you're going to work when you're exhausted. You get home from work and you're exhausted. But hey, you know, your family has a birthday party to go to after work. And it's just, it's such a drag on the body.
I feel tired around 9 o'clock and I'm on a couple different sleeping medications because I have trouble falling asleep. And then I have trouble falling asleep. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, I want to sleep. And then I have to get up for work at around 30. And then I don't want to get up because I want to sleep. And this has been going on for like the past year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's what people describe when they have non-24. You know, the alarm goes off. they may or may not hear it, but if they hear it, they just, it takes really a Herculean effort to get out of bed and get to work because they are in the middle of, perhaps their melatonin spike. And then that cortisol spike is going to happen in the middle of the night. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I get to work just fine. I mean, I get there on time and I do my job, but when I go to my break or whatever and sit down, there's sometimes I just about fall asleep in the break room and okay. I have myself to stay awake. And so I kind of wonder if I have some, I never really thought to ask my doctor about non-24, but I kind of wonder if I am starting to develop it. I'm legally blind. So I have sight in my right eye and I wear glasses and I walk with the cane. I basically walk with the cane everywhere I go.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. It's a drag on the body. You know, when you're feeling so tired at work that you feel you could, you know, maybe nod off during your break. That is rough. So yeah, I would love to get additional information to both Tom and Tyler. I think you would benefit from getting this, little book, so that not only you can review it, but you can take it in to talk to a healthcare professional and you don't have to talk to any particular specialist. This question came up earlier today on a call. You know, do you need to see a sleep specialist or do you, you know, have to see a neurologist? You don't. I always, as a nurse, I recommend people start a conversation with the healthcare provider who you feel the most comfortable with. If that healthcare provider who knows your medical history feels that you need a specialist, then obviously that's the route you go. But I would start with someone you're comfortable having a conversation with or asking questions of, and we can, the health educator I work with can also send information out to ahead of time. If you have an appointment coming up, they can send information to that doctor or nurse practitioner, whoever you go to see, so that when you get in there, at least both of you are on the same page. And then talk about symptoms and kind of map it out from there.
Yeah, that's the problem I've had with getting treatment is, I mentioned it to my family doctor. My family doctor, referred me to the IU Sleep Center, here in Indianapolis. And, the IU Sleep Center really didn't take it seriously. All they told me was, oh, you should take melatonin. Well, I've been taking melatonin like candy and it's still not doing anything.
How many milligrams are you taking?
I've been taking a 3 milligram ones. I've been taking, I started taking one and then I've upped it to 3 now, actually. And okay. It's still not really doing anything. It makes me, feel tired. So then I'll sleep for maybe like 5 minutes and then I'm back up again. So.
Okay. Yeah. So you may want to have a discussion, with a different healthcare provider. The thing about, sleep labs, they do provide, solid diagnostic information for people who have something like sleep apnea. I'm sure most of you have heard of that. That's one of the sleep disorders we can talk about. Sleep apnea is, if you hear people talking about using a CPAP or a BiPAP machine, that's what that machine is treating is sleep apnea. And sleep apnea really can only be diagnosed with a sleep study. And sleep apnea is an issue with the airways not staying open. They become obstructed and that cuts off oxygen to the brain. So sleep apnea is an issue of not enough oxygen reaching the brain. And non-24 is an issue of not enough light reaching the brain. So the root causes, you know, the symptoms can be similar, but the root causes are different. Same thing with insomnia. The root cause is different. Insomnia has the same symptoms, the difficulty falling asleep, difficulty staying asleep, and daytime sleepiness. But insomnia usually has a cause that's external, whether it's stress or diet or some medications can cause insomnia, and it doesn't cycle. So insomnia, like I said, has similar symptoms, but people who have insomnia are not cycling the way someone with non-24 does when they occasionally come in sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles. So A doctor would have to order a sleep study in order to diagnose sleep apnea and maybe even insomnia. But a sleep study is not going to be able to diagnose non-24, unfortunately. People who have these sleep disorders can also have non-24 and vice versa, or someone with non-24 may have sleep apnea or have insomnia in addition to non-24. Those are three separate conditions, but someone can have all three of those with varying degrees of severity of symptoms. So non-24, like I said, you can have all three of those symptoms, or you can just have one of them. But it's the cycling that is another unusual characteristic of non-24. So that's all the information I have for you today on non-24. Again, my goal is just to raise awareness out there. But these audiobooks are really awesome as far as a review of what we've covered, and a great tool to share with family or friends. You may know someone who has an unusual sleep schedule. So maybe that person does have non-24. This would be a great starting point for them. I'll take more questions, but I want to get my phone number out there. So for anyone listening, if you feel that you have questions or you want to have a one-on-one conversation with me, I'm happy to do that. My telephone number is area code 202-875-4714. My name again is Jennifer. And my number again is 202-875-4714. Thanks so much. Any other questions for me? You all have had really outstanding questions. What are some techniques to implement right away? Oh, okay. That's a good question. Really good question. What are some techniques to implement right away to manage non-24, any dietary changes? So I can't talk about any treatments or anything like that. But if you Google good sleep hygiene, you will find some really awesome ideas on how to prepare the mind and the body for sleep. That's another area that is getting a lot of attention lately is, you know, you've probably heard something in the last couple of years about turning off the screens, you know, at least an hour or two before you go to bed, and the screens being the computer, the cell phone, anything that can emit that blue light. They have found that this blue light can be, can really contribute to sleep struggles. So yeah, you want to Google good sleep hygiene and you'll find some interesting reading there.
What if you turn your screen curtain on, then you're not getting that light? Or if you don't have a monitor connected to your computer?
Yeah, if you don't have a monitor connected, you know, you're not going to get that light. There's also like filters I think you can buy to put on the glass of a monitor, or someone told me they got one for their phone. I haven't seen one yet though. She said, this was at a support group, meeting, and, she has non-24, and, she said it did help a little bit. If you have non-24, that is tied to your circadian rhythm. That's your internal clock. So you know, some of the sleep hygiene measures may help, but they may not either. So, it seems like the remedies for it, vary, from person to person. So, for people who don't have non-24, if they have issues with sleep struggles, you know, these filters may help for them, but that goes to the good sleep hygiene.
May I jump in really quick? I have a quick question. I don't have non-24 myself, mm-hmm. but this is just out of curiosity. So if you wouldn't mind just a curious question really quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I was always told that non-24 affected only people who are totally blind. I am a low partial. Again, I don't have it, but does it affect people with partial vision as well? Cause I know you mentioned like you're reducing light and only, you know, obviously totally blind folks wouldn't have that need. So I was just wondering about that.
Yes, good question. So you do not have to be totally blind to have non-24. So there are people who have some vision, low vision, who suffer from non-24. And there is someone I know of who lives in my geography who is fully sighted, who's been diagnosed with non-24. It's just that that's someone who's fully sighted, who has non-24, that's rare. Not as rare, as people who are partially sighted or totally blind. So it is a rare disorder. And it is, so the short answer is no, you don't have to be totally blind to have non-24. Thank you, Tyler, so much for inviting me. Take care, everyone. Have a good night.